Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Hey, good morning. Happy Father's Day to everybody. For all of you who are dads, I hope that after church today, you will eat lunch and then go lay on the couch and do nothing the rest of the day like you did on Mother's Day. And I hope it's a great day of celebration for you and for your family. But we do say Happy Father's Day. Today we honor the men that God has given us in our lives, our fathers, and we're grateful for them. I'm grateful for my father. I'm grateful for my kids that made me a father. And what a great day to celebrate men and their roles. And I got to tell you, we'll be the first to admit that we are imperfect. We are imperfect men, but my prayer is that the men at our church would seek the Lord with their hearts, that they would, those times when we fail, that God would grant us His grace and His forgiveness. And in those areas where we might excel and do well, that we would do it for the glory of God and for the good of our families. So dads, we honor you today, and it's a great day to celebrate. I'm so grateful that the Mavericks kept hope alive so we could have a good Father's Day, you know, because that'd be kind of rough, but it's that's where we are. Hey, I want to invite you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 119. Divine Inquiry is the name of our series that we've been in. We've been looking at questions in the Bible. Some of those questions are asked about God, and some of the questions are asked about us. Now, today's question is directed toward us. It's certainly directed to men, but really it's directed to all believers. It's directed to men and women alike. And the answer to the question is important for all of us. And what a great day to think about it. You know, you might even ask a parallel question to the question that's asked in the Bible that we're looking at today, but you might ask a parallel question: how can dads be great dads? And that's not the question that we're asking and that we're looking at today, but it's kind of a parallel to the one we are looking at. And certainly the answer to today's question would tell you about how to be a better dad, but not just a better dad, for all of us, how to be better followers of Jesus Christ. So this series is Divine Inquiry. We're looking at these questions. And so let's look at the Divine Inquiry that we're looking at today. It's found in Psalm 119, and it's in verse 9. It says, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" That's our question for today. How can a young man keep his way pure? And that's a great question for our times. In a world that's filled with corruption and all sorts of sin and evil, how can somebody who's a believer, how can somebody remain pure? Now, that doesn't mean perfect. It doesn't mean that you're not going to ever do things wrong. But how can we seek to live a God-honoring life? And that's a great question for all people, not just fathers, but really everybody here today. Now, around our house, we have this kind of special moment that happens every day at 6 p.m. It's called Jeopardy. Jeopardy comes on TV at 6 o'clock every night, and we watch it every if we're home, we're watching Jeopardy. It's the most senior adult thing we do. But, I mean, we love it. We love Jeopardy. I love the trivia, I love the pace of the game, I love all of those things. But you know, in Jeopardy, they give the answer, and then the contestants respond as quickly as possible to try to give the question. And they just try to, you know, buzz in as fast as they can with that to give the question, which is really the answer, which is kind of confusing. But they do that, you know, you might say that we kind of got a little bit of that going on in verse 9, because look at what he says. "How can a young man keep his way pure?" He buzzes in. "By living according to your word." Or for Jeopardy, it'd be, "What is by living according to your word?" Now, the word "living" there is not just existing. This is not a biological word here. The word "living" there means to keep guard. It's the term used for a protective hedge of thorns around, you know, somebody's yard or someplace like that. The way you live your life, the way you keep your life pure, is by putting that hedge of thorns, living according to the word of God, building that protective hedge around your life, around your heart. These are not real thorns, but that protection comes from God's word. It protects your heart. It protects your mind. The Bible is God's word for you and for me. It's for all of us. And as we read the Bible, It's what God wants us to hear and know. There are times I read the Bible and I think to myself, man, I wish I knew more about that. God, I wish you had said more about that. There are other times I read parts of the Bible and I go, whoa, that's enough. I'm good. Thanks for that. But the Bible is perfectly what God wants us to hear and what God wants us to know. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 119. But I want to tell you a little bit about the psalm. We're not looking at all the psalm today, so don't freak out. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the book of Psalms. Not only that, it's the longest chapter in all of the Bible. The psalm is an acrostic. It's hard to see in English, but in the Hebrew, it's clear. Each section begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So there are 22 8-verse stanzas that are in Psalm 119. And each verse in a particular stanza, they all begin with the same letter. So for example, verses 1-8, every stanza begins with the letter Aleph. We would say A in English. Verses 9-16 that we're looking at today, every verse begins with the letter Bet. We would say the letter B. Each verse in the section begins with that same letter. Now, here's something else about Psalm 119. Almost every single verse in this really long psalm, almost every single verse has a reference in some way to the Bible. It talks about God's word or his law or his judgments or his precepts or his statutes or his promises or God's decrees. Over and over again, almost every verse has a reference to it. So the psalm is unique in many ways. But it's also helpful for believers. And this psalm is worthy of you meditating on. I'll say it this way to make it sound something a little more that we're used to saying. This psalm is worthy of you spending time in. And I'll tell you this, you can't plumb the depths of it. You can't get to the bottom of the pool on Psalm 119. There's just so much to it. But I will tell you, the more you read Psalm 119, the more it's going to cause you to love God and love his word even more. Our church wants you to spend more time in the word. And we believe the word of God, and we believe that the word of God is the inspired, inerrant, sufficient, authoritative word of God. And we believe that God's word is trustworthy and true. We believe that it's God's prescription for life, and we believe that the Bible contains the words that we need to understand the message of salvation. But we also believe that the Bible gives us everything we need for life and godliness. I didn't just make that up. The Bible tells us that. Now, the Bible doesn't address every single topic that is in our world. I mean, you're not going to find the internet or AI mentioned in the Bible. But the Bible does equip you with what you need to be able to navigate life. It's filled with history and poetry and letters and visions. Yet it's not just those things. It's a book that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. All of these things are contained in the Word of God because God is the one who made these things. You know, you read the Bible has all sorts of genres that are associated with it, and that's because God created all of those. And God speaks in those things that he has created. Now, D.L. Moody said that the scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation. And so they're written over thousands of years, and it still speaks to us today. The Bible is also a personal book. A lot of times people don't think of it that way, but it really is a personal book. People will say to me, oh, I'm so glad you're preaching in the book of Daniel or the book of Matthew or whatever it may be. That's my favorite book of the Bible. When I do funeral services, oftentimes the family will say, hey, we want you to use this passage of scripture because this passage was their favorite Bible verse. So it's a personal book and it's changed people's lives. People will read the Bible and it will transform their life. In fact, we can even point to times in history where it changed somebody's life and that person changed the course of history. So the Bible is a powerful book, and its words speak truth for us, and every one of us needs the Word of God. And certainly for those of us in the room who are fathers, man, we need it as well. So we want to talk today about how we can take this divine inquiry, this question that is asked, and apply it in our life. And since our series is about asking questions, I'm going to give you four questions that you can use when you are reading your Bible to help you to better understand your Bible. But before we do that, I want to tell you about kind of where I think a lot of people are today. And a lot of people are folks that they're a little nervous about reading the Bible. They're afraid to read the Bible. They don't know exactly what to read in the Bible, where to go, what to do. In fact, I always tell people when they ask me that question, I always say, go to the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read those because it tells you the stories of Jesus and what Jesus did and how he lived his life. But this morning, when I was getting ready for the message today, I was praying about this service, and the Lord just put somebody on my heart today, and I don't know who that somebody is. I don't know you by name necessarily, but God put somebody on my heart today, and it's that somebody who's probably in the room today who has started to read their Bible before, and then they quit. And then they try again, and they read their Bible, and then they quit. And then they don't read their Bible for a long time, and then they start again, they get kind of excited about it, and then they quit. And so when they hear a message like this, they think, I'm out. I don't think I can end. I keep quitting. I just don't keep at it. I just keep stopping. I prayed for you this morning, and I prayed that you would not listen to that trash talk of the devil, but instead, that even today, you'd make a new commitment in your heart to read the Word of God, and if you quit, you start again. You pick it up again. All right, let me give you the four questions that we're going to ask. Here's the first question. When you read the Bible, the first question is, what does it say? What does it say? And I'm going to give you a little phrase to go with that, and that's just a simple phrase of read the Bible. Read the Bible. All right, when you read Scripture, what does the passage that you read say? Now, before we get to that last part, we got to think about the first part. When you read Scripture, the Bible assumes that you're going to read it. Because the Bible, again, is God's word to us. And so the Bible is going to assume that you're going to read it. Now, what we've done in America today is we have made Christianity a buffet. All right, where you go and you take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And you go, I don't think I want that, but I will take this over here. So we've made it into this buffet. God expects us not to make our faith a buffet, but God expects us to read the Word of God. To not just say, hey, I don't think I'm going to do the Bible thing. No, the Bible expects us to do the Bible thing, to read the Bible. And not to read it like one time through, like you do with most books, and then put them on your shelf just to show everybody you read that book. It's not that. We're to spend time on a regular basis reading the Scripture. Now, if we were reading the Bible only for information, then we could read it one time and put it on the shelf. But we're reading the Bible for change, for transformation in our lives. And for that to happen, we've got to read the Bible, and we got to read the Bible on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And so I encourage you to read the Bible, but to figure out your strategy. What's your strategy for reading the Bible? Now, the way that I do it is I read my Bible every morning before I get out of the bed. I wake up in the morning, and that's the very first thing I do. I often say I read the good news before I read the bad news. So I don't open up any of my news apps, I don't open up email, I don't do any of that stuff. I read my Bible the very first thing that I do. You need to figure out a plan that works for you. That may not be right for you, because the very first thing you may do in the morning is turn off the snooze button 12 times before you actually get up. You know who I'm talking about. So you have to figure out what works for you. But maybe it's to use the read through the Bible in a year. I've used that for literally decades now. That's what I enjoy, the read through the Bible. Maybe you want to pick a book of the Bible you're going to focus on. Maybe it's going to be a devotional you're going to use. Just make sure that that devotional keeps you in the Word of God and not just in what that person says about the Word of God. But make God's Word a priority in your life. Start small if you need to. Hey, just say, every day I'm going to read one of the Psalms and I'm going to read a proverb. Start small if that's what you need to do. But finding yourself in the Word of God, reading the Word of God is critical. Then you need to think about what it says. What is this verse about? Or what is this story about? Now, there are going to be some parts of the Bible that are kind of hard to understand, and there are other parts of the Bible that are easier to understand. When you read the story about Jesus healing the blind man, that's pretty easy to understand. The guy was blind, Jesus healed him, he's not blind anymore. There are parts of Isaiah you get into and you're like, I don't know what's going on. Now remember, all of God's word is given for you. All of God's word is for your benefit, even the parts you don't quite fully understand. Just keep on trucking, keep on reading, don't give up. But when you read, you have to think about what you're reading. What does it say? And to find that out, you have to actually read your Bible, have to actually think when you're reading your Bible. So we read verse 9 there. Verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. So to do what we just talked about. So we read that verse and then we think about what it says. Okay, so if I want to live a pure life, if I want to live a God-honoring life, then I need to do so according to God's word. So we see how that works? So we read it, we think about what does it say. Here's the second question for you. What do I see? What do I see? And that's the idea of feeding from the Bible. Feeding from the Bible. Feeding is looking at the passage and not just reading it, but I mean feeding on it. This is not middle school, got to read a book for school, so my eyes are just going to run across words and I'm going to consider it read. That's not what we're talking about here. It is really looking at the passage that we're reading, investigating it, noticing things you've never noticed before. I got to tell you, I've read through the Bible at least once a year for decades. And I'm always seeing things that I think, I have never seen that before. Even though I know I've seen that before. That's the beauty of the Bible. That's the depth of the Word of God. So you want to observe it. You want to look at it. You want to consider what you see. So let's look at this psalm and observe. Look in verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Those are a marvelous few verses there. And they cause us, we've read them, so they cause us to pause and ask what we see. Now, there's only one question that's been asked in this section. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And then there's a bunch of other answers that are associated with that as to how you can keep your way pure. I see a bunch of verbs there, a bunch of action words. I seek you. I have hidden. I recount. I rejoice, I meditate, I delight. All of those are in those verses we just read. So all of those are actions that are required on my part. Now, what is the ultimate goal? To live a pure life. How do I live a pure life? By living it according to your word. So I'm reading the word of God, but I'm also feeding on the word of God. And I do that by intentionally examining it, looking at it, taking it in. So my son, Braden, is a great cook. I mean, he's an incredible cook. And he got it, honestly, from his mom, and she got it from her mom. And so, I mean, it's just like, it's in the family, that side of the family, not me. So when Braden cooks, man, he, like, cooks up a storm. And here's the thing about him cooking. He knows so many foods I've never even heard of, and ingredients I've never heard of, and seasonings I've never heard of. And when he and I go out to eat, if he cooks something or we go out to eat, we have two totally different experiences. Mostly what I am doing is transporting food from my plate to my stomach via my mouth. And then I give my expert food critic assessment. That's pretty good. I mean, that's pretty much what I do. Braden sees the whole experience on a different level. He looks at the presentation, thinks about how it could be made better. He's analyzing texture, temperature, taste. And he will chew on something in his mouth, but more so in his mind. Friends, you can eat food however you want to. But when you feed on the word of God, be more like Braden. Observe it. Take note of it. Look at the presentation of it. What's around it? And really chew on it in your life, experience it, get the most out of it. So when you look at verse 10, what does it mean? Verse 10 says, I seek you with all my heart. What does it mean to seek God in verse 10? What is the Bible telling me in verse 11? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What does verse 11 tell me about how I need to be memorizing the word of God? Down in verse 16, why does delighting in God come after sought and hidden and meditated in the previous verses? So what you're doing is you're making observations about the passage. The psalmist says that living according to the word of God is the pathway to purity. To live according to the word of God, I need to act on some things. I must be committed to seeking God, to looking for God, to pursuing God. I need to memorize his word. I need his word to protect me from sin. I need to daily practice the word of God. I need to find joy in doing what God tells me to do. So what you're doing in all that, you are observing what God is saying to you there. It boils down to you're interpreting the word of God for your life. Now again, you're not interpreting the word of God the way you want to interpret so it fits your life. That's making the Bible say something it's not saying. But instead, you're seeking, how do I conform my life to what the word of God says? How do these things help me live according to your word, not twist them to live according to my life? And ultimately, how does it bring greater purity? So the first question, what does it say? You read the Bible. Second question, what do I see? You feed on the Bible. Here's the third question. What do I do or don't do? And that is where you heed the Bible. You heed the Bible. You obey it, in other words. You listen to it. You take its warnings. You know, sometimes the Bible's very direct. Sometimes the Bible's kind of indirect. Sometimes you read a story about somebody who does something wrong, and the Bible may not say it, but you get the big picture here, which is, hey, don't be like that person in the Bible there. Don't do that. Other times, the Bible's very clear. You need to do this. You need to avoid this. So when you're asking the question to God, you're saying, God, what do I do or what do I not do? That's really important. Our text that we're looking at today, our passage we're looking at today, shows us very clearly what to do and what to avoid. And one of the ways to bring it out is just to use this very simple phrase, I will or I won't. So you look at the text and you let it apply to your life. Look in verse 10. Verse 10, I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. So I will seek God with all of my heart. I don't want to be somebody who doesn't do the job, who only does it halfway, but I want to wholeheartedly pursue God. So then you pray that text. God, help me. God, help me do that. God, help me seal this commitment to seek you with all of my heart. Verse 11, I've hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. I will memorize Bible verses. Now, again, this is not a competition to memorize more Bible verses than the person next to you. It is a commitment to say, I'm going to hide God's word in my heart. Why? So that I might not sin against you. How does a man keep his way pure? By living according to his word. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It all makes sense. So think about in your life the familiar sin, that thing that you do that just trips you up all the time, and then find a Bible verse associated with that and memorize that Bible verse over that area that you're struggling with. Put some on the screen here for you to see. These are just four that I just pulled out here. These are just four things that people wrestle with. And then there's a Bible verse next to it that you can memorize to help you with that particular area. Now, your sin may not be the one that's on the screen there. That may not be yours, but you can find a verse for yours. You don't have to call me and say, hey, what's the Bible verse for this? There's this thing called the Google. And you can get on Google and you can say, Bible verses about this, and they'll give you a whole list of Bible verses about that thing that you're wrestling with. So find the verse, see what that verse says, and then memorize that verse. And let that verse speak to you. And if you go on throughout, it's, I will praise you, I will rejoice, I will meditate, I will delight. But in these verses, you can also say, I won't. Verse 10 says, I won't. It says, do not let me stray from your commands. So you're saying, I won't stray from your commands. Verse 16, I won't neglect your word. Whether it's a passage like this or it's a Bible story about Jesus healing somebody or Jesus talking to somebody, I mean, there's lots of ways for you to find things and stories that you will do or you won't do. Find them, write them down if that helps you. But what does the Bible say? So you read the Bible. What do I see? You feed on the Bible. What do I do or not do? You heed the Bible. Here's the fourth one. What do I need from God? What do I need? What is it that you need God to help you with in your life? And what does the passage tell you about God and about yourself? Now, if I were to say, hey, what do you need God to help you with? You probably have a laundry list of things that maybe you pray about on a regular basis. God, help me with this. And God, I need your help with this. And God, guide me in this. And God, show me. God, I'm going to make a decision about this job or this situation or what. You probably got your list, but let me tell you something. You may have things that are not on your list that need to be on your list. And that is, you read a verse, you read passages like this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. It may be, wow, you realize when you're reading that, that it's not on your list, but one of the things on your list that you need God to help you with, God, I need you to help me stay pure. God, I need you to help me to overcome this in your heart. God, I know your word is the pathway. So God, this is what I need from you. I need you to help me, God. The scripture says, do not let me stray from your commands there in verse 10. So you're saying, God, I need you to help me do that, to not stray from your commands. There's an old hymn, and there's a line in the old hymn that says, prone to wonder. That is like, you know, I'm like prone, I'm like likely to wonder. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, Lord, take, seal it for thy courts above. The hymn writer is saying, hey, God, I am prone. I am likely to stray from your command. So Lord, help me not to stray. Because God, if I'm left alone, if I'm just out there on my own, I promise you I'm going to stray from your command. So God, I need you in this. I need you to help me. But God, there's something else I need. It says here, oh Lord, teach me your decrees. God, I need you to teach me the Bible as I've committed to read the Bible. The best Bible teacher, the best teacher of the Bible is God himself. What happens is the Holy Spirit of God will instruct you. When you read your Bible, begin with this prayer and just say, Lord, teach me your word as I read it. God, as I'm reading these passages, teach me your word. And God, help me in the parts I don't understand. And Lord, help me in the parts I really do understand. You know, Mark Twain talked about it's not the parts of the Bible he doesn't understand that disturb him about the Bible. It's the parts he does understand and he's not doing. So ask the master teacher, Lord, show me, teach me. And God may show you something you need to do. You read the passage, God may show you something. God may show you steps you need to take. God may tell you, if you pray to God and say, God, would you just show me sins in my life that I need to confess? I mean, you know all the usual suspects, but he may have some others you need to be aware of. But it's just asking God, God, I need you to teach me. God, I need you to show me. And when you do that, what happens is God blesses that. God loves when people want to study his word. And so he's going to bless that in your life. When I was a teenager, I realized I needed glasses. But seeing how I was already having trouble with being cool, I didn't really want to get glasses. So I kind of walked around kind of being blind for a little while. Couldn't exactly see very well. So finally, I just admitted, okay, you're not cool. And you're going to get glasses because you need to be able to drive and pass the driver's test. So I started getting glasses. Well, you guys know that people from other generations don't call them glasses. They would refer to them as spectacles. Spectacles, such an outdated term now in many ways. But now, people that say that, they don't say spectacles, they say specs. And when I was growing up, we used to talk about how if you want to see and really understand the word of God, and you really want to understand what God is saying to you through his word, you got to put on your specs. That's what we used to say. So what are specs? Here they are right here. We'll put them up on the screen. Is there a sin to confess? Is there a promise to claim? Is there an example to follow? Is there a command to obey? Is there a stumbling block to avoid? These questions right here. I see a lot of you taking pictures, so I'll go over here. All right, time's up. But is there something, when you're reading this passage, you see something in the story, man, is that in my life? Do I need to confess that sin? Here's a person that's greedy in the story. Do I have greed in my life that I need to confess? Is there a promise that I need to claim where God is saying, hey, like he says to, Jesus said to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. You read that story and, you know, your plan's not to die that day, but you're saying, hey, Lord, one day I'm going to be with you in a place you've called paradise, and I'm claiming that promise in my life. Is there an example I need to follow? Paul used to tell the people in the early church, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So is there somebody in the story you're like, hey, they did that. I need to do that. Is there an example I need to follow? Is there a command I need to obey? You read the Bible, you'll see commands all the way through it. I mean, you think about the Ten Commandments. But I mean, is there something I need to obey in my life? And then is there a stumbling block I need to avoid? We don't use that term a lot anymore. That's a biblical term, that idea of a stumbling block. Today we might say, is there a trap I need to avoid? You know, is there something in my life that's going to cause me to trip up in my faith? Is there something that's going to trap me, that's going to cause me? Is there something about this person's life that I'm reading about or this verse that teaches me, hey, I got to do things, I got to avoid that. I got to stay away from that. So you're asking God, I need your help. I need your help in my life. And these specs that you put on when you are inspecting, reading, studying, the Word of God will help you in that, help you to study the Word of God. So our divine inquiry today really teaches us two things. It teaches us how we can live a pure life by living according to His Word. The Bible says that. But it has also taught us how to study God's Word, that we might be able to live it out, to be men and women of faith, and to be the men and women that God called us to be. Because I can tell you this, out there on our own, man, we're a mess. We're a mess. But instead, what we do is we say, hey, God, I want to live the way that you have laid out for me. God's plans are best, and He's got great plans for us if we will pay attention to Him. And that's why the Bible is described as God's Word is a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my path. It helps me to see the way that I need to go. But here's what a lot of people do. Their Bible is sitting over there on the shelf or in a drawer or someplace. And man, it's just collecting dust on it. While they're over here in a crisis saying, Lord, I need to know what to do. God, I need your direction in my life. God, I need you to help me in my life. God, I need you to know, I need to know what your plans are for me. God, I need to know what decision to make, whatever it may be. So we're asking God to speak to us, but we're not reading the book He gave us that speaks to us. I think we all can recognize there's a disconnect there. And you may find out that the more you read the Word of God, the more those answers that you've been praying about are coming. Because God's saying, hey, see the book. See what I've told you. See what I've given you. But you have to decide. I'm not coming to your house to read the Bible for you. You have to take up the Word of God and read it yourself. And here's a promise, Psalm 18:30. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. Would you bow your head with me today? I don't know who I prayed for this morning, but somebody in the room probably has kind of not been reading the Bible like they want to or should, know they should. Sometimes it's hard to read the Bible because sometimes you just don't want to read the Bible. I mean, that's just the honest truth. We've all been there. We've all felt that. You just don't want to read it. But it may be that God is calling you today to renew and recommit to reading the Word of God. And people ask me, well, what do I do if I don't want to read the Bible? If I wake up or I'm, you know, go to bed and I don't want to read the Bible, I say read it till you want to read it. You just do it. And God's calling some of you to say that you've kind of fallen off that wagon. Hey, get back on it. Read the Word of God. Spend time in the Word of God. Pick up those Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Maybe it's to find a different book of the Bible, whatever it is, just find a book, start reading the Word of God, let the Word of God speak into your heart, speak into your life. Use these questions that we talked about today, and I hope that many of you will recommit yourself to reading the Word of God. There are some of you here today that have never received Christ as your Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us we're separated from God because of the things that we've done wrong. We've sinned, that we call it. Those things that we say, think, and do that displease God. But God knows that. He knows that we could never be religious enough to get to Him. So God sent His Son Jesus to come to this earth, live a perfect life, die on the cross, pay the price for our sins. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again on the third day. And through His death on the cross, we have forgiveness of sin. And through His resurrection on Easter Sunday, we have eternal life. And if you've come here today and never experienced that, you've never received God's forgiveness through His Son, you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and received that gift of salvation and become a child of God, I want to invite you to do so today. In just a moment, we're going to sing a closing song. And after we do, right across the hallway is our Connect Room. And we've got ministers who are going to be there. And those ministers are there waiting to talk to you about what it means to know God through Christ and to receive Him as your Lord and Savior. And so if you've never done that, when we finish singing, go directly to that Connect Room. They're not going to keep you long. We know it's Father's Day. You got plans. They're not going to keep you long. But what they do there is really, really important to talk to you about your faith, to talk to you about eternal matters, where you'll spend eternity. Don't put that off for another week. Who knows what a day holds? There may be some of you who are here today, you want to join our church, or maybe you want to be baptized, or maybe you want to surrender your life, commit yourself to serving the Lord in ministry, maybe in full-time ministry. Maybe God is speaking to you about something. You don't know what He's talking to you about. You just know you need to talk to somebody. Maybe you need prayer in your life. Same thing. Go to that Connect Room right across the hall. Those ministers are there ready to pray with you, ready to talk with you, ready to help you join the church. Whatever it is, don't be afraid or embarrassed or ashamed. Just go. Take a step of faith and go. There's a lot of people who are running from God. They're trying to make it on their own. They just can't find the happiness that they're looking for, can't find the peace that they're looking for, but they're just going to keep on running. But there will come a time when God is going to speak to your life. You can say yes to Him today because He's calling right now. He's calling you right now. You don't have to wait for that other time. But that pursuit and that race of trying to keep away from God doesn't have to be that way. God's word teaches us that He knows us, He loves us, and He wants what is best for us. Won't you say yes to Him today? Would you quietly stand where you are as I lead us in a word of prayer? Lord, would You take these moments that we have and would You speak to people's hearts? I pray that people would be drawn closer to You through Your word. I pray that people would desire to read Your word, would be committed, even though if they failed and made mistakes, God, I pray that You would help all of us who have failed and make mistakes to just continue to be faithful, to recommit to read Your word, to spend time, because Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Lord, help us not to try to live it all on our own, but help us to follow You and to serve You. And so God, thank You for those You're speaking to about reading Your word, for those who need to receive You as Savior or join the church or be baptized or whatever it is, give people the commitment and the faith to step out and to believe and to follow You. So give people courage to go to the Connect Room and visit with folks today. We thank You for what You're doing in our hearts and lives and how Your Holy Spirit speaks to us. Lord, help us to follow You. And God, may Your word continue to guide us. And may we hide Your word in our hearts that we may not sin against You. May we live according to the word of God. Lord, we're a bunch of broken people who need Your help. Thank You for giving us Your holy word to teach us. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.